Whether you're a Class 5 rafter or just looking for a couple of laughs, these two have you covered. Welcome to Aaron and Zach's Better Than Mediocre Rafting Show.
Are you eating, Aaron?
No.
You're starting the show by eating. Haven't we talked about this?
I got it done. I'm done. I found that stuff.
That's embarrassing.
You can see me eating in the back on the background video, but no, I'm done eating.
Okay. All right. Cool. That's good timing. Well, welcome everybody to our Friday show. This is Aaron and Zach's Naive and Entitled Rafting Show. This is where two naive entitled guys attempt to talk about rafting. I want to be very clear. This show today is entertainment. We're literally just going to talk smack with no knowledge of what we're talking about. If you want actual education, we highly recommend going somewhere else. Where can they go to get education, Aaron?
Well, I'd start off with, where would you go for education?
Lake Tahoe Community College Guide School.
Lake Tahoe Community College Guide School. Thank you.
Yeah.
The internet?
Yeah, go to the internet. Go to nrs.com.
I guess we are on the internet.
Go somewhere else on the internet.
Yeah. I would say, like, I actually think the materials we actually put on the Whitewater Guidebook website, you have on your Whitewater Guidebook website, and the stuff I have on BR Expeditions is actually educational. Like, the purpose of that is, like, actually thought out, not just, like, not like this. I feel like we're, like, those sports commentators who, like, yell at each other and just, like, say stuff, and they don't even know what they're talking about, you know?
Yeah.
Like, last, like, the guy commented about Skull Rapid. Yeah, I've never run Skull Rapid. I have no idea what's actually going on in Skull Rapid. And just trying to figure it out, but...
You know, what Aaron's referring to is we got kind of a nasty comment last week about we shouldn't talk about things we don't know about. And that's literally what we do. That is what the show is. We talk about things we don't know about. This is purely entertainment. Please don't watch the show to learn things. Watch other Gear Garage videos. I have education. I've created amazing education. Our Friday live show is just Aaron and I having fun on Fridays. And if you're along for the ride, we're glad you're here. But please, like, please don't see this as a chance to learn us presenting ourselves as experts today.
But I will say, Zach, I do appreciate when people like hold us in check and say, hey, you're wrong because of blah, blah, blah. That's cool. That's part of the deal. So yeah.
That's how we learn.
If you're totally wrong about Skull, let us know we're wrong about Skull and why we're wrong. And I'll read them like, oh, cool. I didn't know that. Or I'll be like, no, I don't agree.
But and so the way that Aaron and I learn, we're trying to get better all the time. We're, you know, so the way we learn is we like play devil's advocate. We fire ideas off each other. We say things that make no sense and see what the other person says. That's how we learn. We feed off that on each other. But also with the show, like we'll throw something out there. And when people who actually know stuff educate us, that's how we learn and get better. We'll learn more about different rapids and things. So anyway, this just want to be clear, preempt this with this is entertainment, not an education show. Now the rest of Gear Garage, the regular videos, I think are pretty good education. I'm pretty proud of them. But that's not what we're doing today.
And then you think the Tuesday show is educational? Is that what's supposed to happen?
Well, we're answering questions. So we try to answer people's questions honestly, not like this. We're just watching videos and talking smack the whole time. Anyway, so those of you listening, you might be listening to this on River Talk Podcast. That is literally just a stripped off audio. People have asked for that as a podcast. This is meant as a video show. If you're not watching this in video format, you're missing a ton. Now we present the audio for those of you listening to it in a podcast format, but you're going to miss a lot. And so we really urge you to watch the video because we're going to look at videos today. Another thing is we have members. Thank you to all the people who've become members. We had another member sign up today. Thank you. And for those that are members, we have a couple treats for you that are special. One, we do a trivia question where you can win a prize. And today's trivia question, you ready for this, Aaron?
Yes.
What river has the rapid devil's toenail?
Oh, I know.
But don't say the answer. But what river has a rapid named Devil's Toenail? I would not have known this if you asked
me. I'm going to say what river doesn't have a rapid named after devil or hell, though?
Yeah. There's like Devil's Tooth, Hell's Corner, Satan's Cesspool. But this one is Devil's Toenail. So if you're a member and you get the answer, post it and we'll send you a prize. You can choose from many things like a cool Northwest Drafting Company cup, a pair of Sawyer Cobra Orlocks. We're still trying to give these things away. I also have this awesome photo. It's a reproduction of Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze from Point Break. It's framed.
Man, if I had known, I would not be hosting the show, and I would be trying to answer and get that Patrick Swayze.
Oh, Blue Puma got it, and Rough Track Retreats. So Blue Puma, send. You win a lot. We're gonna send you. Yeah, we'll send you something. Rough Track Retreats, we'll send you something too. Both of you email Aaron at aaron@riversoceans.com. We'll send you guys a prize. Oh, wait, are you both members? Oh, Rough Track Retreats, sorry. Just Blue Puma. The other thing is we have a members-only show at 3:30 today we're going to do. And the idea is it's sort of quit this show and put a new show up on YouTube. Hopefully you can find it. And there should be a recording available to members. And the idea is that we can share footage we don't want to just put on YouTube, right? I have some footage that like would embarrass people, including myself, and that I want to share and do it on the show. But I also, the people in the videos probably don't want this video to get out, or the people who took the video gave it to me saying, hey, I don't want you to make this public. And so it's just for the small group of members. We're going to do a little separate show today. And we may start a semi-weekly show of this kind of stuff because we have a good amount of video that like I want to use for the Friday show, but it's not quite appropriate. But if we kept it to a small thing, Blue Puma, yeah, thanks for being cool. We'll give it to Andrew. Andrew's the first member then. Andrew, there you go. Andrew, send
email. Nice job, Andrew.
Yeah, you snuck right in there. Rough Track Retreats kind of lost on technicality there. Send Aaron that email and we'll ship you something. We also still have Tim Palmer's books if you want one of those. But I think you should take.
And did the ladder go? Is the ladder gone?
The ladder's gone.
Yeah, the ladder's gone. Someone took the ladder. Yeah,
yeah, that was last time. Yep. A couple other things I have written down to talk about.
Before we go there, I'm curious. Yeah. If people send you gear to give away on the show, would we do that? If someone sent you something like, if I like own such and such, river gloves, and I sent you a pair of river gloves.
Yeah,
did you give away on the show? All right, cool.
Yeah, River Company Outfitters was maybe going to sponsor us. If they sent us like a sticker, I could give away sticker away. I'd be like, hey, or whatever, a shirt. I don't know what they mean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we could definitely do that. There's a question. Let's get this question a second. I'm gonna finish the last thing. There's no shows next week. I'm on the river next week, and so no Monday show or no Tuesday show, no Friday show. We're taking a week off. Aaron, you have to just go surfing more and whatever you do. So no
coach,
shows
next coach, week. Oh yeah, I'll coach a little more water polo. That'll be good.
Yep.
Nice. Very nice.
We'll get to this question, then we'll get off the show. Favorite swimming spots in the Middle Fork? There's some really cool eddies at camps. I like Cradle Camp. I like swimming in that eddy. There's actually at Marble Right.
Do you recommend swimming? Would you let your guests swim at the Cradle Eddy?
We do all the time.
At low water?
At low water. Yeah, low water. I mean, this is a good question. This totally depends on flow. At like 6 feet, nowhere.
Cradle, I would be terrified to let people at certain flows swim at Cradle.
No, we do it all the time. It's actually pretty fun. There's a really fun one at Marble Right. There's an eddy you can get into, and if you really pay attention to the boil line, it'll just make you go in circles. And so you can get four or five people in the eddy just doing circles. Right. But you got to know where the eddy line is so you know when to like kick back upstream. That's a cool one. There's Jump Rocks, Marble Left. But those are the ones that come to mind. Ooh, there's a Devil's Toenail on Spokane River. Nice. Marble Left, yeah, has a good swimming spot. I wouldn't call it. It's good. It's good. Yeah,
okay, jump rock. Have you ever done the swim down to Loon and hike back to your camp?
Swim to Loon? No, swim to Loon.
Yeah, like from like was it
White? Shelf?
From White? White?
White Creek.
White Creek, yeah, White Creek. From White Creek, like you float down with your life jacket, hike to Loon, then hike back up.
I personally would never do that.
Why not?
It's rocky. I've boated people down from there and hiked back up, but
you never floated down.
No, I've done like on the Rogue. I'll do this. Like I'll go from Solitude down to Tate Creek because it's pretty flat, pretty easy. But man, there's a rocky rapid in there, Aaron. It's probably flow dependent. Yeah, there's a pretty rocky. It's a fairly new rapid. It's like 8 or 10 years old.
I don't remember. I haven't been out there much in the last 8 or 10 years. So
yeah,
that's why.
Okay. Yeah. All right, let's get on with the show. I think that's all the administrative stuff we have to talk about. And today we're talking about some flips, but before we do, we did Skull Rapid last week. We did a lot of Skull Carnage, and somebody sent us some videos of Westwater, and I like this one because it's a really good example of how to do it. And first of all, Aaron, right away, what do you see?
He's set to downstream fair, and he's looking over his downstream shoulder, yeah. And he's running pins and clips.
Yeah. I mean, this guy, I mean, in my opinion, he knows what's up, right? He looks like his angle for downspin fairing is great. He has that casual, just like look over the shoulder.
Yeah.
And pins and clips. God, you caught it all. Yeah. So I'm pretty stoked on this guy. He's not pulling with all his might, but he's pulling pretty hard. This is it. Make a downstream fairy.
Yep.
This is that hole that everybody went sideways, yeah. And you're done. You're literally done. And that, like, I feel like there's so many rapids where if you just downstream fairy through some stuff at the top, you're done.
I'm gonna say, and if we go back to those comments, last week they told us the move isn't right to left. And didn't he just go right to left?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're talking about a specific comment that somebody left, and I mean, there's multiple ways to run the river, and it is flow dependent. I think his idea was like, why are you guys judging only these flows? Like, I'm not going to search the videos for every flow of Skull Rapid. Like, this is a flow of Skull Rapid. It worked, but
that's a beautiful line. Yeah, that's a beautiful line. And that was the line we were discussing. That was exactly the line we were discussing doing. So even though this isn't for educational purposes, I'm going to say,
yeah. I mean, he's a good boater, but a really good boater would not be like, there's a moment of stress here and he's a little sideways there. He lost his angle.
But you mean, no, he's fine. He's starting to pivot, isn't he? Keep going.
He's trying to miss that hole. He's basically pulling 90 degrees. He could have gone sideways in the hole.
He's like already past the hole. He's fine. Now he's just pivoting around.
That's a good point.
He's pivoting around because he's going to go down the straw.
Great ship on the right side. I mean, this guy, I don't know. I feel like this guy's a California boater. That's my opinion. I don't think people learn this in Colorado. I'm just going to say it.
Oh, well, no, it's everything. Some major trash talking Colorado voters, man. Zach.
I mean,
Zach's still a little bitter from all the comments last week from the Colorado voters.
I'm going to tell you why I think it's a California voter. One, pins and clips. Two, I think that's an Avon, right? I think. It looks pretty close to an Avon. And he knows how to downstream ferry.
I'm gonna say this. I would not want my friend sitting on the nose of the boat like that. It definitely causes a lot of drag and makes it harder to drive the boat. I'd want him sitting down a little.
Well, look, he's down there holding on to the little line.
Yeah, even on the pole, I'd rather have the weight on the outside too, but I guess that's good to be in the middle. But once he sits up, when they sit up on the front, you know?
God, that ship. I mean, I'm sorry, people.
You're right.
That's a California ship right there. Look at this. You just don't learn that in Colorado. That's a California ship right there. I'm keeping it real.
The right one or the right ship?
The right ship there. It's beautiful. Look at this. Brings it in. No big deal. Leans to the right a little bit. Right back. His eddies, his oar makes the ship and throws his oar right in the eddy right there. See that? That's just money.
Hey, so what do you think of the angle on his pins?
It's a little splayed out. Yeah, it's a little.
Seems a little splayed out. I mean, it looks like it's permanently that way, and it is the way it is. But that's kind of my look on it too. Is like, and it looks wider too, which makes it harder to ship well. It's because they're so far out, you know.
Yeah, it is harder to ship well, but
it makes it harder to ship, and so that makes it even more impressive. What a nice job he did with it.
So this is Andrew. This is video. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Yeah, hey, Andrew. There you go.
You can always start a little earlier. That's true. Utah, yeah, but you did some, but you can't learn this skills boating in Utah. There's no way you learn those skills in Utah, right? He has to be boating in California for a while, right, Andrew? Somewhere other than Utah. Yeah, a pro.
There you go. Yeah, it's a nice boat.
That likes to hit Skoho. Huh. I don't know. Last time we saw people hitting it and it didn't go so well for them. So maybe you hit. It's forwards because they were hitting it sideways. That wasn't the best.
Maybe you have the right amount of weight in your boat. And what are you running a cat? Are you running a weighted cat? If you're running a cat with gear in it, that's a different story than a raft.
What do you think about them not wearing helmets?
Do you wear helmets on the Mill Fork?
Sometimes. I'm just asking you.
I'm asking this question. Do you run them on the Mill Fork? No. Do you run them on the Rogue? No. And you put hundreds and, you know, you probably put like, I don't know, 500 people down the Rogue every year. Like, how many user days is that? How many opportunities is that to hit your head? These are two guys.
Wait, hold on. Do I wear helmets or do our guests wear helmets?
Do your guests.
We provide helmets and we make them wear them sometimes.
Yeah, minimally though. My point being is, it's like, I think the helmet thing is a little overrated.
I, on my last Middle Four trip, I paddle boated and I made them wear helmets to pistol. And then I made them optional for about 60% of the rest of the time. And like 40, like in the tap and say, put your helmets on the last day, put your helmets on. There's people that wore it the whole time. And we now carry helmets in our boat. So like if they want, they take it off, it goes right in a little bag.
And there's I guess
they were available. They wore them. You know, I say, hey, don't have to wear them. They're like, no, I'm cool wearing them.
I guess my point is that like for how many user days you and every other commercial offer does on the Middle Fork and the Rogue, we're not hearing about
disastrous head injuries.
Yeah. That's why I come with that. I mean, it's nothing about you guys in particular. Just
before 4 or 5 years ago, there was probably nobody wore a helmet on the Middle Fork hardly ever. And I mean, maybe 10 years ago. And there's not like a story of somebody hitting their head and dying. Or like,
and I'll bet you more people get hurt getting in and out of the boats and walking around a camp than they do on the river.
It's shoes. I bet there's way more injuries from not wearing shoes than not wearing helmets.
I mean, now granted, it's your foot. It's not your brain, but still. Yeah.
But, you know,
no, one person. I think in the way he ran that, if he runs like that all the time, I don't really have a problem with them not wearing helmets.
Yeah,
if
I'm just asking you.
If it was at his limit, which clearly that run wasn't, I'd be more like, yeah, you probably want to wear a helmet. You know, like if I'm learning to row class 3, I probably want to wear a helmet. If I'm crazy solid, you know, like it's that step town thing again that we talk about. I think it depends.
Oh yeah, like if he's a class 5 boater today on this run, then yeah, maybe he's good.
And you know the run, and you know the run well.
But if he's barely hanging on, this is his first time down, he's a little nervous. Then you wear a helmet. Because actually rowing, the reason you wear a helmet is because of the oars.
Yeah,
I mean, everybody's worried about falling like head first on a rock. That's not a thing that happens that often. It's something in the boat hitting you in the head.
Yeah, but it's not that hard to wear a helmet. That being said, or just wear it for the big rapids. Put it up, just bring it with
my
you.
My only thing is like, when it's 100 degrees out, I'd much rather wear a shade hat than this like kind of hard, this hard thing that like doesn't provide shade and it like traps some heat in. Like
yeah,
I can take a hat and dip in the water and cool down.
You can dip.
And so like there's some injury of like heat exhaustion.
I think if you wear a big hat, that I wear a big hat always when I'm not running hard stuff, mm-hmm. and that argument works. But like he was just wearing a regular baseball cap. And
even
so
a baseball cap.
I feel like that
provides some shade for your face. There. No, I'll take just a baseball cap off, dip in the water, put it back on my head.
You can do the same thing with a helmet. And helmet's got insulation to protect you.
No, it can't.
It does. The sun doesn't hit your head. The sun hits the outside of your helmet, and it's got all that insulation.
All right, whatever. I'm already annoyed with you.
Yeah, whenever you say whatever, you means I'm Aaron. You're right, and I don't want to discuss this.
That's actually true. That's funny.
I totally agree. Yeah. Totally agree.
Yeah.
I agreed. I think there's that probability, but also that was kind of my point with the other part is like, I think you definitely can wear one, right? And it's not that hard to wear one and just bring along for the bigger rapids. Yeah. So I would say in general, but I look on the other side of it. It's pretty rare. You know, like there's a lot of head injuries driving your car.
When you go through the American Whitewater database, we're not seeing head injury. We're seeing solo boating, no PFD, cold water. Solo boating, no PFD, cold water. You have to look really hard through the AW accident database to find a head injury.
Do you think you're more likely to die of a head injury driving your car or rafting class 4? I would guess you're driving the car.
Skateboarding.
There you go.
For sure. One wheeling. All right. Cool. We got more videos to watch.
Let's go.
Are you done talking? Okay. No. This one's pretty good too. This is the same guy. So we already proved that Andrew knows what he's doing. Great ship. Pops his oar. All right, what's your first impression? What's going to happen here, Aaron?
Which oar did he pop his left?
His left oar. I'll go back and do it again. Watch. Great
that
ship.
That sucks when that happens. You hit a little bump and then it catches the water like that. You got it high and tight. And that's what we were talking about before, about those wider pins. I bet if he had a little narrow pins, he probably wouldn't catch that problem. You know, because it's harder when they're wider to keep that blade up. And then you got more oar you're dealing with usually because you got to have longer oars. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So he's got the crappy, he has the crappy, yep.
He has the pins eclipse. Like you really want, I mean, we're going to say you really want this white one that's solid, because the ore you can get it back in right now with the little floppy one.
Sucks.
It sucks. And we're not going
to. It's not as bad as having none. But it's closer to having none than having a white one. Like the white one's so much better. Yeah.
So now he can kind of use his ore, but he's not going to get back into the pin until he has flat water. But this is a pretty good job.
That's fine. Worked. That's the problem. It takes two hands to get it on with those things.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
You can do one hand in your foot. If you don't get all the way in, you can stick it with your foot and you can keep rowing with your other hand. Yeah.
Here we go. How often do minor injuries? Yeah. They don't get reported. Like when I hurt my thumb, they're reported. But I think people wear helmets to not die. Like not to just
raise their hospital. Head. Yeah. If I'm going to the hospital, that's a problem. If I've got a little cut on my head, you know.
Yeah. There's definitely a gap. But like I think we're. When we're looking at like the big picture safety stuff, like what's killing you, like not wearing a helmet isn't killing people. It's solo boating. The solo boating is not killing you. It's just a factor. Like the fact that you went by yourself isn't whether you died. It isn't the reason you died. It's a factor in why you may have died. But it's cold water, bad boat spacing, all the things. You know, I think a lot of the head injuries don't get reported. You're totally right. But it's not a major cause of fatalities out there on whitewater. Andrew, just get in now. Next summer, these are $20. I'll make a trivia question and answer to get them. That's how bad I want you to have them.
He just answered the trivia question.
Oh yeah, there you go. Hey, just ask Aaron for the.
He wants the Cobra locks.
Is that what he wants?
That's what he asked for, is the Cobra locks. We're complimenting on his Pins and Clips, and he wants Cobra locks. Zach, I know. I know. It's like maybe you should just send him the stirrups and said no Cobra locks for you, Andrew.
What, Andrew? You're killing me here. What are you thinking? Well, so look here. Let me find.
Oh,
there you go. River Boat Works, $18.95. This is nothing. I got some beat up ones right here. I can send you. I have some brand new ones. Andrew, you can have.
Andrew just said he'll take the stirrups.
You can have brand new. I have a brand new set right here. Brand new. Boom.
All right.
Send Aaron your address.
Andrew, I feel like redeeming myself with the next two comments. I'll take the stirrups.
Okay.
And then the one after that.
Oh.
Because that's when we not like teachers. Andrew, if you teach math, then you're really in
Andrew already teaches. All right. I'll send you. You need these. I'm going to send you these. Give Aaron your address. You're getting stirrups. We'll give the Cobras to somebody who thinks they need them.
All right.
That's an interesting thing, M. Silva. That's it's because flush drowning is a bucket list for like, we don't know what happened. Like they could have got hit in their head. And that's a great point. That is a really great point.
I mean, there was that one, wasn't that one on the South Fork that Noel pulled in? They had a head injury and it was probably called a flush drowning.
Noel or Nolan?
Noel. Back in the day. Or was that you? Didn't Noel pull him in?
It wasn't me. Maybe it was Noel. I can't remember.
I thought Noel pulled them in. That person. They just found the body floating there, and they had clearly had a mark to their head, but
they
probably called it flush drowning.
That's a really good point. Something I haven't thought about. Yep. Thanks for adding that comment. Look, we were just educated, Aaron.
Yes.
Or at least I was. You probably.
And Andrew teaches band, so not quite the same.
Okay. Yeah. If it was math, I might consider sending you both, but for band, you have to buy your own Cobras. All right, want to watch another video?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. We have a lot of videos. You got to stay awake, Aaron. And how do you like to fall asleep with all these videos? Before we just go, what are your impressions so far? What do you see here?
Dude looks like he's dressed to swim. Uh-huh. I'll say that. Looks like a dry top or dry suit on, which looks good. He's got his locks with rates, and he's got his little oar leashes on there. He looks like he's got the setup.
Yeah. I see helmets on the boat, but they're not wearing them.
Yeah, they're not wearing them.
Passenger has a high float, which is nice.
Yeah. Where are they below though? The rapid? Are they just helping with a flip?
I don't know. We'll see. I have watched this one. I don't watch all the videos, but I have watched this one because I was curious how it went.
Oh, and we started in the middle of it, huh?
Yeah, because there's a whole buildup.
That is weird to have a helmet and not use it. That's kind of
interesting. This isn't a major rapid, though.
But it can happen anywhere.
It can happen anywhere. I think so. If you look in the comments of the video or in the description, you know, basically it's like, hey, you know, this is a known name, unknown rapid, and didn't see it coming. I mean, so would you wear a helmet the whole time in the Grand Canyon, Aaron?
No, but you could easily do it for the rapids. Like on the Selway, we pull it out for the rapids for ones where you're concerned about it, you know, where you're like, yeah, there's a chance of us going over. High water is a different ball game too. This is some great footage we're watching here. Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering, I haven't watched this far. I'm wondering if they get a flip back up. Like, why didn't he edit this out? Or are we going to see it reflipped? I really want to see him. I want to see if they can reflip it that fast. Oh, 5 minutes of bubbles. Okay. Did they reflip it? Oh, no, he just turned it off. Wait, when it's upside down? What? Oh, he got it back up. Oh, no, he just took it off.
Oh, okay. And look at the bottom of his boat. Is that a bucket boat?
Get back. Oh, he has this little advertisement thingies. I think I saw holes.
It looks maybe it is. What kind of boat is that?
There's holes there.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like a bucket boat floor. What kind of boat is that? Let's see if we can figure it out here. Yeah, I can't even tell what it is. Yeah, let's get to some comments. I mean, okay, maybe
that's a good point to wear.
Yeah, but yeah. You know, back when nobody wore helmets, head injuries weren't a thing either.
Do we know that?
No, I made that up. This is entertainment, not education.
But I will say, Grand Canyon, there's a lot of oar boat flips and minimal head injuries from any oar boat flips down there.
I just think historically, hey, I'm all about helmets. I love wearing helmets. I wear a helmet all the time. I'm not advocating for not wearing helmets. I should stop. I'm playing devil's advocate here. Because I think sometimes people are too annoyed about you not wearing a helmet. Like, put a helmet on. And you're like, dude, really? So I think there's a happy medium. There's times when it's appropriate and there's times when it's maybe overkill. And for me, I overheat really easily. When it's 95 degrees out and I'm running pretty easy whitewater, like I'd rather a helmet makes me overheat. I'd much rather wear a hat, like a big shade hat or something.
I think there's lower hanging fruit that a lot of times the safety squirrels forget about, and they're all into having the cool gear and like, yeah, the gear is helpful, but there's some other, you know, it's like, cool, you've got the 5-point harness on your car and you're driving around, but you're still driving 90 miles an hour. It's like,
yeah, I think focus on where, like, that's what I was about, the point I was getting at. Thanks for bringing it back. Let's focus on the things that really matter. Let's dress correctly for the water. Let's boat as a team. Let's look out for each other. Let's try to avoid solo boating. Let's not drink. If one person has a beer in their hand and they give me a hard time about a helmet, I'm going to lose my shit. You know, like there's a lot of other low hanging fruit that we get to. If you're boating, like if your team boating is spot on and are dressed right and you're not drinking, like then you can talk to me about like wearing a helmet in class two. Mm-hmm. What's a 15-foot briss? Never heard of that. I'm about to buy two rafts for our rowing classes, for private classes we're doing in Hood River. And I was just trying to decide what to buy tomorrow. Like what would give us more.
You can buy a briss on Amazon.
That scares me. How much is it?
$15.99 for 15 foot. Yeah. Wow. And you can get it. You can get it $88 a month for 18 months.
Is it Amazon Prime?
I don't think so. One-time payment.
I'll bring it up. A briss. Inflatable. They spelled inflatable wrong. It's hard to buy something.
And it has free delivery.
Dude, they spelled inflatable wrong. It's really hard to buy a boat where it's spelled inflatable right. They can't even spell the words right.
But it's free delivery too. That's amazing. I wonder if I can get delivered.
I can guarantee you this is not premium quality materials either.
They say premium, they must mean it. It's heat welded. That's good.
Oh, it's really hard to believe this is.
Has a removable floor.
Was that what he was rowing?
That would explain the removable floor.
Wow.
Has anyone rode one of these? How are these things? Do they make a 12-foot model? Because if they have a little 12 or 10-foot, ooh, the 9.8-foot one's $1,099.
How do people make a profit doing this? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, Amazon's making money on this. Somebody has to own Briss, you know, Briss.com or whatever. They have to, like, hire people to do accounting. Like, how do you... This is...
This little 11... This little 10-footer looks awesome. I mean, jeez.
That's interesting, Timothy.
What kind of valves does it have on it?
Yeah, I think with a paddle boat, I think the most dangerous thing on the river then is those T-grips. And there actually has been a fatality from a T-grip hitting somebody in the head, not wearing a helmet.
Well, so, yeah. And I'll say head-to-head. I've seen that too. Or so.
Knocking heads. Yeah. And I've seen an oar hit somebody in the head in an oar boat before without a helmet. So it's certainly possible. But I think in a paddle boat, it makes a lot of sense to be wearing helmets. I get that. Wearing helmets is good. I just think, like, I think the point you made up was great. Like, there's other things that should take way more priority in terms of safety. Like, there's other low-hanging fruit that people are ignoring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
boat spacing. Literally just boat spacing. All right, want to move on? We got more videos to watch. Sure. All right. You like this one, Aaron. It's your favorite river. Is the subway your favorite river?
Well, it's high. Oh, that's down low. Oh, yeah. This is Wolf Creek.
Yeah. Even any of that. This is about the flow when I did it, I think. This looks really familiar.
Yeah, there's a big feature down in here. Get over there, bro.
Right there. Boom.
Oh. It's definitely one of my favorites. I don't have a favorite. I probably have like six favorites.
So he started about when, let's go back. The flips. So the standard should be a 45-second turn flip over. That's my standard for good solid boaters. A minute 24 he turned over. So we want to see how long before he flips back over. 45 seconds would be a minute 20, a minute, 2 minutes 19. Did I do the math right? 2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes 19. Let's see if he gets it back over by 2:19. That's it. We don't get to see that. So this is the booty beer. Now, do booty beers, it's a kayaker thing. Is it a cap owner thing too?
I don't know. I don't understand. It's different with rafts and kayaks. Because kayaks, you flip over, you can roll back up.
Yeah. Like if you do the 45-second reflip, it doesn't count. But if you need to get rescued by other people, then you do the booty beer. And for those of you that don't know, a booty beer is a kayaking thing where if you swim, you should pour your beer in a booty and then chug it. It's disgusting. But
we don't need to watch him drink a booty beer. Let's watch him run the rapid again.
No, I kind of want to see what happens here. Okay. Now. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't watch this far.
This is really entertaining. You're encouraging drinking of alcohol. Is that what you're?
They're in camp. I'm also like taking in their whole camp scene. This is the camaraderie of boating. There's a lot of cameras on this guy at once. The other thing when you do booty beer, it's a lot of it spills out and gets in your shirt, and so it's not a full beer. That makes me kind of gagged swatching.
That's gross. Okay. Great, Zach. We watched someone drink a booty beer. You did a great job of drinking it too.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of spillage. Most people spill all of their shirts.
That was
he drank that thing. He did that the way Super Kev would do it. Oh, here you go, Aaron. Here's your footage. It ends with your foot, and it's in slow-mo. Wait, hold on. What's he doing wrong? In your opinion, what's he doing wrong right now?
Well, he's starting too late. He needs to be like 10 feet to the left where he is right now. He's trying to get across the tongue. He'd need to be entering on the left of the tongue there and pushing left. He could have also gone way left at the top and avoided all this. There's another line over on the left. And with that small cat, I might have selected that line. But it's going to be hard to push over. I'd probably turn and pull.
That's my whole thing. Like, this isn't a push move. This is a downstream ferry. I did this exact same rapid in a cap boat, the same flow, and I downstream ferried and caught the eddy. I pretty much caught an eddy over here.
Yeah, but if you start, but the thing is, you could push it if you started really early. If you push to go right behind that rock, you can get that angle and you can track it. You can do it. You have less flexibility for error. You know, you need to be on your
game. But why push it when you can downstream ferry? Like, why push when you can pull? It's just one move. Like,
because you can see where you're pushing behind the rock. That's sometimes
we can look over your shoulder and time that perfectly.
You definitely can, but sometimes it's nice to push it too. And you feel cool when you push it.
I just want to say if he had pins and clips, he probably would have made it.
Why would he have made it?
I don't know. I'm just talking smack. His Cobra Orlogs too. Oh, that feeling right there. That moment. You know that moment right there where you're like, oh man, this is where I wasn't supposed to go.
I will say this is
good one of those things. He leans into it. He's trying.
Yep. I don't mean to use that. I've got to get into more trouble trying to continue to miss it versus just, okay, I'm not going to miss it, turn and point straight into it. There have been many times where I'm like, oh, we're hosed, and I turn straight into it and we come out.
I think that's what I would come here needs to square up. Yeah.
It may or may not work for him, but I kind of agree with Jimbo there. Is like,
why not just
like
miss the
odds
it?
Better.
Why not just downstream ferry and miss it?
Well, I agree with that. It's like, if you're not going to miss it, I'm with Jimbo.
Of course, if you're not going to miss it, square up. Duh. If you're not going to miss it, don't hit it sideways. No kidding.
A lot of people wait too long to try to square up, and then they're in the process of trying to square up, and they hit it, and then they flip. You got to recognize earlier, oh, hey, I'm not going to miss it.
But don't miss it. Miss it. Like, don't hit the hole. Make the move, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to some of these questions. Wait, hold on. We're getting back to the Briss, the 13-foot.
Oh, yeah, Timothy. How long have you owned it? Is this going to be a maiden trip?
Oh man,
You have to throw it in the dumpster at takeout. Is it a one trip boat? What's the deal with it?
Yeah, is there any proof this is a good idea? That's what I want to know. Is there any actual proof?
Kmart, one of those ones you blow up with your mouth and remove those.
Timothy, what day are you launching? I'm curious. We might be launching with you. I'd love to see it. I'm gonna be a boundary on the night of the 18th. I don't know if we can meet up. It'd be cool to see it. Rental boats like River Trails and Mopin.
I bet.
No capo or thing. Self rescue absolves all.
For drinks.
Yeah, I would think if you self rescue. I mean, I don't know if I agree with booty beers because it forces people to drink. I think it's like a weird peer pressure thing. You already feel bad when you swam. Like, it kind of rubs it in a little bit. So I'm not a big fan of the culture around it. But if you're going to do it, if you're a cat boater, I think if you can get to your boat and reflip, you shouldn't have to do a booty beer. If it is a cat boater thing, that I don't make people do booty beers ever. I'm like, man, I'm sorry you swam. Glad you're okay. Let's get down the river. Like, cool. Any guy that falls out, really?
Sawyer, that's interesting. I knew a different
one.
The one I knew, Sawyer, was if any guest stays in the boat and the guide falls out, the guide has to buy all the other guys on the trip beer. But if the guide stays in and all the guests fall out, then all the other guys have to buy that guide beer.
Yeah. As an outfitter, Zach,
you don't like the second part of that at all.
But. Well, I mean, first of all, my first year guiding on the South Fork, I fell out a lot. And it was mostly because I'm not afraid of swimming. And I stood on the back of the boat in what's that big rapid at the end of the South Fork?
Hospital Bar?
I stood on the back and jump up in the air. And I didn't mind falling out. It wasn't the thing to me. But I fell out quite a bit my first year guiding on the South Fork. And I bought a lot of guides beer that season because they're like, yeah, you're alone to fill up, buy beer. I did it a ton. I learned that that's a bad idea. You shouldn't, as a guide, you probably shouldn't fall out of your boat. I learned the hard way.
That's good on that side. That's good though, because it keeps guys from doing stupid stuff. Because man, I'm tired of buying beers.
Yeah. So. But I never needed rest. I did it in responsible places. Like, I wasn't being a dummy, But if I was a new guide and I bumped a rock and fell out,
you were doing it in responsible places, like in hospital bar.
Hospital bar is not a bad place to swim. There's a lake afterwards, a literal lake.
There's that ledge on the left that you get pushed into, and then the boats get stuck on top of each other.
Never happened.
And then the boats start flipping on each other. It's like a huge undercut when rafts get stuck there.
Never happened. And there's a literal lake afterwards. So anyways, you know, when I was a new guide, I was an idiot. So.
Well, there we go. I agree with that. But you said, but I'm not doing it in dumb places. I was like, nah, that was
still possible. Bar was fine. Anyway, getting back to there's this idea of beer fines. Have you heard, like, it's a new thing called beer fines. So back in the day, it was like, if you fall out, you buy the guide's beer. If you dump truck and stay in, the guide's buy you. There's a few other rules that were like general.
Yeah.
But now there's actual beer fines. And there's all kinds of things that make you have to drink and buy beer. And there's a whole culture around drinking based on performance. And I think that's really unhealthy and a really bad thing. So, like, I would not like this rule. And especially, I could see maybe a beer, but a booty beer. To me, the booty beer is a kayaker thing. The Raptors are sort of, like, adopted. Like, let's keep booty beers to kayakers. And, anyway, that's just my
More comments.
My Atlanta Wolf Creek back in late June is in the flow as well. Yeah, send it to us, man. Love to see it. There's no, I think it'd be hard to swear.
I mean, you're right, but don't hit it sideways. Like, you'd be amazed. I'll say two things. I'm amazed things I've hit with my nose, how I popped out. If especially like that, where it's not breaking straight upstream, you're kind of coming at an angle and I'm pointing towards the right and it breaks and it kind of pushes you off to the left. And the other thing is something like that. If I had a paddle boat with like six people on it, as we came up to, we had a little downstream angle and called an overwrite before we hit it. You could be like a kayak and brace it. You can literally like brace into a big hit like that. And if your upstream tube gets high enough up, it doesn't catch any current, just go and go through. I've done that. I've had success with that most of the time. A couple of times my crews were really upset when I tried to do that and we did flip. So it doesn't work all the time, but
you did flip.
Well, cause once at high water at, Phil's Folly, we were going to miss the hole. And I was like, no, we're going to miss it.
I think I was there for that.
And I just said, no, you weren't there for this one. And I said, hey, let's do an overwrite. And everyone did overwrite. And then we went into it. And they didn't do a very good overwrite, though. They didn't get their weight all the way in the tube. They kind of were, they had their knees down the bottom of the boat, kept the boat flat.
So it's the guest's fault that you flipped. That's what
it's a bunch of guides that were with me. So it's guides.
Aaron, I feel like I've seen you flip at high water at Phil's Folly.
I did. Yeah, on that trip with the.
If I wasn't there.
That high school trip we did for
Phase. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that was a separate one. That one was not one where I decided, oh, let's see if we can over into it.
Was it the guest's fault that time too?
No, not at all.
But the other time it was the guy's fault. Got it.
No, I wouldn't say it was their fault, but they could have done a better job. Let's put that.
Hey, we got called King Aaron. 2 years, 1,000 river miles on this boat. Man.
That's
pretty cool. Huh.
Wow. That's 1,000 river miles.
Yep.
Are they all wow?
Timothy, on the 19th, I'm going boundary to Indian, and I'm flying out of Indian. So maybe we'll cross paths if you're on that section on the 19th.
That's less than $2 a mile. He's getting good use out of that. That's like, that's pretty good.
You should buy one, Aaron.
Well, if I were going to buy another boat, I might.
Relentlessly trash talk your friends or some. It depends on the friends. Some people need encouragement, not trash talk. But yeah, if Aaron swam, I would trash talk him. For a while,
because it doesn't happen. But if the boat's upright,
seltzer water, booty. Oh, gross. Yeah, I think that's respectable. I mean, if you're rafting, I just be like, hey guys,
that sounds nice. A salt. I mean, what a waste of a seltzer water. But I'm all about.
At least you play the game.
I'm gonna say this. This is kind of a tangential, but the seltzer waters are very helpful for those of us that don't drink on the river anymore. It's a great way to, because if you don't have them, your friends get all upset with you for not drinking anything. If you have a seltzer water, they leave you alone.
I've seen an entire change in guiding happen the past couple of years since like guides are drinking seltzer waters because we have such a habit to open up a can in camp and get there and have something refreshing. It doesn't have to be a beer.
Yeah.
And I think seltzer water, I'm seeing guides drink a lot more seltzer water and it's way healthy.
It's a great move.
Drink less beer because of it. Cause you get to camp.
You want something.
Yeah. You want something. And when beer is the only option, or Coke.
Coca-Cola is like, oh, you can get like two sips and then you're like,
yeah.
You're like,
oh. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, the seltzer water has been a great addition to the river scene.
Is it, you just, I'm sure, they have a walk of shame. Yeah. I mean, I'm a fan of just be supportive of the people you're boarding with. You know, like, I think supportive and help each other out. With my kayaker's buddy that we were, buddies. Yeah, that seems like reasonable. If kayakers are calling out, if you're playing with kayakers, I think that's cool. If it's all rafters, like, let's come up with our own thing. Like, I don't know.
I'm going to say, hey, Sean, if the boat's upright, I'm in it. And that's my mentality. If it's upright, I'm in it. And I'm staying in it no matter what. Now, I have messed up a couple of times, but it's extremely rare.
What's he talking about? What are you talking about here? I don't even know what you're talking about.
He's talking about, because I said I don't follow the raft. I stay in the raft.
Oh, I've seen Aaron follow the raft. He does. But you try hard not to.
Where was this?
I don't know. I've seen it, though.
No, you haven't.
I have seen
it. I don't fall out of the raft.
You know that photo I have of you, like, on the South Fork of the Smith, where I should find this photo. Like, there's a boat in the South Fork Smith Gorge, and like five swimmers, and you're the one in the boat.
Yep.
I have a photo of you in a boat and five people in front of you with no downstream safety.
Yeah.
Stay in the boat. It's because you hunker at the bottom.
Yeah, I see.
Like, Aaron, like, most of us kick back with a paddling guide in the back. Aaron's literally hunkered at the bottom. If you ever see a paddle boat go by and a head sticking out of the bottom, that's Aaron's head.
Yeah.
He doesn't sit up high.
Well, I was paddling in that raft. I wasn't guiding that boat that day.
That's a good question. It depends on the.
No way. No way, Taylor. I'm going to say the wetsuit's better in general.
I had a debate with my guides about this early season, because I was wearing a wetsuit. I wore on all of our Illinois trips and high water metaphor trip, I wore a wetsuit. And I wore it because it's more comfortable than a dry suit. I hate wearing a neck gasket all day. It provides a little flotation. And I want to be in the same thing my guests are wearing. Like, if they're all in wetsuits and I'm in a dry suit, I can't really relate to them. Right.
Knowing
like,
how cool they are. Yeah.
And they're like, why do the guys all have dry suits and we get wetsuits? So for me, it's like to be on the same level playing field. And some of my guides were like, yeah, but you may have to stand in the water for a long rescue. Okay. And I was like, yeah, I can see that. So it's a tough call. I think, but you can stand in the water for a long time in a wetsuit too.
I think it depends on the time of year and the temperature of the water.
Yeah. And they were actually
a springtime snow melt run where it's not warm out is different than a summertime Cherry Creek run where the water's still cold, but you can stand in there all day in your wetsuit.
Yeah.
But
they were actually some days wanted to wear their dry suit around their waist because it was so hot.
Which is,
I'm like, well, that's dangerous.
Yeah. No,
and so we debated wetsuits versus dry suits a lot for guiding and didn't come up with an answer. We haven't, like, I think that I'm still on the wetsuit train, they're still on the dry suit train. Or if your zipper breaks.
I mean, I've Taylor, I've taught a lot of guide schools in California in like late March, early April. And when the conversation we have, the pre-trip is like, okay, if you have a 4.3 surface wetsuit, that's awesome. That people do really well with that. The only part that sucks is you're putting on a wet wetsuit every morning.
What's but a 4.3?
4.3 is 4 millimeters. It's like four millimeters in the core and 3 millimeters on the arms. Versus like a 3.2 is like, a 4.3 is like what you'd use in Santa Cruz to surf.
Okay, because I used to wear 3.3. Oh, so but the regular rafting wetsuits, the Farmer John's,
all 3 millimeters.
Threes. Yeah.
Yeah, there's because they're not the arms on them. So I think the 4.3 is like, Taylor, it's an amazing option. And if we're doing like a lot of swimming in a guide school, they're way, they're designed for swimming in. So they work better there. They give you better padding. I prefer, and I feel like I'm more athletic in a wetsuit. I don't like the arms on the wetsuit for rowing, honestly. If I'm rowing, I'd rather have a Farmer John. But the Farmer John for me is the most athletic, like cold water protection, if that makes sense. Like moving around, I can jump around on the rocks better. Just I'm more agile. The dry suit makes me less agile. So I'm only wearing a dry suit.
It gets bunched up really a little bit underneath. And yeah, I wear a dry suit. I wear a dry suit 100 days a year. Like I wear them a lot. But man, when I can't wear a wetsuit, I will. And so for me, it's kind of air temperature related.
like air and water temperature. Like I think your guys are right about one thing is like, how are you going to be able to effect a rescue properly in your dry suit? Can you go, if on that trip, you're like, hey, Zach, you and I, let's go stand in the water for 10 minutes.
But how often are you standing in the water for a rescue?
You never know what's going
to
happen.
You never know, but it's like, you're talking about like, what if in this one situation, you might have to stand in the water for a rescue. Whereas if it's 100 degrees out and you don't, and you're like, oh, I don't want to wear my dry suit today. Yeah. I'm sweating to death in it. There's like trade-offs.
But Zach, I've dealt with a few wraps and pins and stuff like that where we're in the water up to our waist for a while trying to get it out.
But those are pins and wraps. I mean, that's not a person. So like,
I know, but that's still your job.
Yeah. But I think to me, it's kind of air temperature related. Like if it's cold out, if it's like 35 degrees out, I'm not going to wear a wetsuit. Because when I get out of the water, I'm wet.
Yeah.
I'll wear a dry suit. Where if it's 100 degrees out and the water is 32 degrees, I'll probably wear a wetsuit. Mm, or whatever, 40 degrees. So at some temperature, I'm like, when I'm either sitting in the boat and not in the water or on shore, the dry suit is killing me.
Yeah, no, I'll agree with you, but I'll say I think it also depends on how long of a swim you would take in that dry suit, how long you'd be in the water. How long, if it's pool drop and you know you get to a pool quickly, you can swim to shore and get out of the water quickly, wetsuit makes sense. If it's high water where you're like, dude, you could be in the water for a long time very easily, then I like the Tuolumne.
How much?
The Tuolumne at 10 grand. Like in the,
you
know,
you don't
like
put guests in dry suits?
No, you don't. But I'm not going to say
should
that.
Should you? You
know, that's a good question.
I mean, my take on dry suits for rafting trips, I've seen enough of them break to where they're becoming, like I took a leak at above Gray's Grindstone once, a mile long rapid on the tee at like 6,000. I took a leak and I couldn't close my P zipper. What do you do?
No, I mean, I agree. And I think about that stuff a lot. And
I've seen so many gaskets blow and zippers break that like, then you have something that's actually a hazard.
And I'll go back to the guide school you teach every year. The people who rent dry suits, there's always a couple of them who rip
always.
Out gaskets.
Every time. They're
not careful with them too. And you got to be really careful. And we talk about it. And then someone leaves an earring on or something like that. And they catch it.
And then back in the day, when we could, the other thing is, back in the day, we couldn't afford dry suits. And so like only one of our friends even had one for the longest time. And we wore wetsuits on everything. Now everybody, you know, every swinging dick has a dry suit. Maybe
everyone's
two.
Rich now.
Yeah, like I think now because everybody has one, they look funny because you're wearing a wetsuit. But I mean, before everybody got rich and had dry suits easily available, wetsuits were the thing for a long time.
Yeah, I'll say in almost 30 years, I've had two dry suits. And one was one of those roll together. I had a dry top, and I got the roll together thing. That was the first. It was so nice, though. That was a game changer. Yeah. Oh, the roll together. Yeah.
For Rocky Rivers, I think, wetsuits.
Yeah, no, totally. And the padding for the wetsuits is fantastic. Another great point. Yep. You're totally right. Taking the frozen wetsuit off of the drying line and trying to put
it
on.
But it's only like 4 or 5 minutes of miserable. It's not all day. Once it's on, you warm it up.
I'm gonna say something here, Zach. That's coming from a large man who's of Norwegian descent. Some of us who are from Mediterranean descent, not quite as big, we don't warm up all day. I'm cold all day.
So I think, I mean, going back to this, I think it depends on a lot of factors, and there's not a one size fits all answer for everybody. Like are you fat? Are you skinny? Are you Norwegian? Are you whatever you are, Aaron? Are you what are you?
Mediterranean. I'm Italian, basically.
Okay, you're Italian. Are you Italian? Like, what's the air temperature? What's the water temperature? Do you need to effect a rescue? Are there sharp, rocky rivers? I mean, it's a lot of things, whether a wetsuit or a dry suit is better. I'm going to say they both work great.
But people,
and there's like,
there's this adage that the dry suit's better. And that's not true. Like,
yeah,
dry
across
suits
the board. Yep.
No. And like, you see too many times where it's like, it's not the right piece of equipment for that day. And there's trips, like the Illinois trip is a trip where I struggle. Like, do I bring my wetsuit? Do I bring my dry suit? Do I bring both? If it's cold and rainy, I want the dry suit because otherwise I'm going to get hypothermic.
But you don't.
Illness.
Oh, yeah, you are. That's right, because you're Italian.
But the other thing, Zach, I'll say is in Chile, we couldn't maintain dry suits down there, right? And it would get cold, Patagonia and stuff. You know, be whatever the
misty.
Yeah, and you get the, it wasn't really snow. It was snow that would melt right when it hits your hands and hits the stuff. So it wasn't sticking, that type of stuff, the nasty weather. Down there, though, I found that a wetsuit with paddling pants over the top, it was a great option. And like the wetsuit with paddling pants over the top keeps you so much warmer. Like, cause you don't, it almost acts like the dry suit without.
I'm not a big fan of paddling pants, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a game changer. The paddling pants and a dry top or a paddling jacket and wearing some layers underneath on the top and having on the bottom, like people just stay so much more. In the Illinois, I used to recommend it to people. Like if you're gonna wear a wetsuit, keep your rain pants out. And
see, I'm more of having a nice warm jacket up top. Like, let me have like a nice warm jacket up top and I'll just let my legs go free. Like, I don't like the pants kind of make me feel congested. It's hard to swim in the pants.
Man, I mean, we used to swim for that. We had to do the swim at Throne Room, and I swam in mine all the time. They're the Patagonia ones I had. They were really nice.
Yeah, they get water. Those Patagonia ones kind of fit nice and tight, but a lot of them are really baggy and they get water in them and they get hard to swim in. Let's try to move on from this. Okay.
Yeah, we have kind of lost it down a rabbit hole here.
Yeah, but I think it's a good debate. I think there's reasons to both. And I got in a pretty heated debate with our guides about this because I wore a wetsuit and they thought I was being sketchy. And I'm like, no, you guys were sketchy for taking it off. Like,
why are you tied around your waist? That is.
I made him put it on. I'm like, no, you need to. If you're gonna wear it,
off.
It's on. You don't half wear it. It doesn't matter to me. That's dangerous. So we got a pretty heated debate that we never resolved. So we're in the middle of this debate. So I have a side I'm trying to defend here. The wetsuits aren't bad. I did the four trips I wore a wetsuit on this year. I brought a dry suit. I never touched it, but it was in a bag.
And that's what I on the only
just in case. I'm just like, things get real rough. Mm-hmm. Whatever. Air pockets, arm and shoulders. Yeah.
Interesting.
No. Oh, if you switch your ass off in a wetsuit, you will die in a dry suit. And it depends how much they breathe.
Taylor is wearing a 4.3. So yes, Taylor, a 4.3. Okay. A 4.3 is not designed. Yeah, you don't want to be a summer day in a 4.3. We're talking Farmer John's. And the Farmer John is a whole different moment. The 4.3, you're going to sweat your butt off and you're going to get dehydrated. And it's going to be crazy hot. So he's right.
You want to contact our good friends at NRS. This is a moment for us to stop. And
actually, NRS does make, I think, the best Farmer John wetsuits out there. Now, Zach, you might think someone else is better. I like the zipper. Makes it zip up so you can pee out the bottom. It's pretty nice. The only problem is that the zipper comes up from the bottom. You get drips down there, and it drips right down where you don't want to drip. That zip up from the bottom thing is kind of annoying for that.
Well, I have some wetsuits from Stolquist that are amazing, but they stopped making. Stolquist had some really nice ones, and Kokatat I think has some nice ones, but I really want to feature our friends at NRS.
We want to have
sponsor the show someday, so here we go. They make nice wetsuits, so the Farmer John's the way to go. You know what I really want though, after the season of guiding a lot of cold trips, is some neoprene 3mm pants. And then a separate neoprene top. Because there's some days where, man, I would like the pants would have been just fine. It's like a light jacket. So I'm in the market for some just pants.
I'm just going to say, Zach, on those days, the paddling pants work great in the same way.
Just paddling pants.
Yeah, just wear my paddling pants. I do that some days because I'm getting splashed on my legs. I wear paddling pants. And then it's nice. I'll tell you, those paddling pants.
I had a bag, Aaron, on my trips. I never touched it. Had a dry suit, had paddling pants. It had extra fleece and it had an extra rain jacket. It's just this bag. I just never got into it. But just in case, I had all these things and I never quite got that cold. For me, and also to share with other people. That's what we got. Used dry suit, $500. Yeah, now $500 used dry suit. I would not buy a $500 used dry suit. You're just asking for trouble. If you're going to get a dry suit, just assume it's $1,000 plus, or you're just going to get something that doesn't work. If you're too,
Sean's right.
I have a friend.
Yeah, anyone who's too hot is kind of a dummy on the river.
I have a friend who says, if you're hot, you're stupid.
Yeah,
like that's a good rule. But when the middle fork's 6 feet, you're not going to just jump in real quick and cool off. It's cooking. Or when the Illinois is 1800, you're not going to. There's some parts you just can't jump in. Like, it's fine on, like, the Rogue or, like, the Middle Fork at, like, 3 feet.
I think he's right, but then I'd also say, Sean, but then you're affecting a rescue and you're on land and you're dealing with a rap and you're like, oh, hold on, guys. I need to go get in the river and cool off again. And I've seen people who have had to do that over and over. They keep having to jump in the river to cool off, and they get heat up really fast.
I mean, that's a good point. Like, when you're affecting a rescue, the dry suit's probably better if you're in the water. Mm-hmm. But when you're on land, a dry suit's killing you. Like, you can't stand in the sun in a dry suit and be like pulling on ropes and stuff, but you can't always just quickly jump in the river. There's, when you're doing those cold water trips, it's sometimes harder just to jump in real quick, but it's a good point.
Going back to the Farmer John Toon, Taylor's comment, Taylor, what's the nice thing about the wetsuit is if it's a hot day, you wear like a cotton shirt on top and the cotton kind of cools you off when you're out, you know, you're out hanging out and you're paddling, and then if you fall in, the wetsuit's going to keep your core from getting too cold. So you can kind of play that game too of wearing something on top with the Farmer John that's going to allow you to be cooler. And then if you get cold, then you change your top or put a paddling jacket on, and then you'll be warmer. So you definitely have a lot more of a range you can be comfortable.
Thanks for becoming a member, Taylor. Thanks, we appreciate Taylor. It. Yep. One of these days, Aaron's going to make a few bucks off the show. He hasn't yet. I'm keeping all the money right now, but one of these days.
I know.
Zach. If you have enough members, I'm going to send Aaron a check.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How many more do we need?
Like 8,000.
Yeah, and then and you'll send me a check for $2 probably.
Yeah.
So yeah. All right, where are we going now?
The Locksaw. Fake Onos.
This looks like a day for a dry suit. Looks like cold and miserable.
Yeah, there's snow on the banks, so I'm wearing a dry suit.
Yep.
I'm not gonna wear snow on the banks. I'm not wearing a wetsuit.
Oh, nice. Oh, boy.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Person's doing a good job of high sighting.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's a really good high sight.
Whoa, bye. Oh, look at that little boat.
All right. What do you do here, Aaron? When you run, like, if you're a purple guy and you go by, what do you do?
Like, as you're going by, do you try to bump him out of the hole? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, or at all. Is there any way to help this guy out?
I think it's tricky with the cats because you got all the metal and it's just messier. Like, he did try. I think what he did right there is perfect. He just clipped him just a little bit. Like, he didn't expose himself too much, or is he going to get himself hurt? And, like, you got to be really careful about doing stuff like that. You don't make the situation worse. I'd say you just, like, go down and eddy out and be ready, because the dude can always jump off and swim down. He doesn't have to stay in there.
Oh. Would you run up the throw bag and throw him a rope?
No, probably not.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd have to wait a long time to do that. I'd rather keep downstream safety than be down there waiting, because he can always jump off. Yep. And he can jump downstream so he doesn't get resurfaced in the hole. I mean, it's not.
And the rope can make it worse. The rope could get wrapped around him.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people think that the answer to surfs is ropes. And a lot, I think it's just weight. A lot of times, just weight.
Weight, WAIT, weight, right?
Yes.
Versus WEIGHT. Yeah. Share screen. That was a good that was some good footage. I like that one. That was almost one to like save for instruction.
Have you seen this video? You're gonna love this.
Is this Locksaw as well?
No, I think it's Colorado. I don't even know. That's not. I don't think it's Locksaw.
This might be Idaho. This might be
Idaho,
like outside of Boise.
The Payette?
Yeah, a section of the Payette.
I don't think it's the Payette.
Yeah, are you sure?
Mm-hmm. You think it's a North Fork, Aaron? Paddle boats on the Payette?
There's a lot of different sections on the Payette, Zach.
Ooh, yeah, it's not the South Fork. This isn't the South Fork. I know that. Here we go.
Yeah. All right. So. We could figure out if we saw the name of that raft when it came by.
Clear Creek. There we go.
Can we go back and watch that again? We can talk a little bit about it.
All right.
So there. They don't have a lot.
Their boat spacing is pretty good, right? First of all, for this kind of this continuous of whitewater, this is good boat spacing. It's hard to maintain this kind of boat spacing. But this doesn't look like a place you want a swimmer.
No. It's Ryan interesting. Saying, everyone's still sitting in their spots. He doesn't have everyone do an over.
Ryan,
you
saying,
know what I mean?
Arkansas. I don't know.
I would do an over. I would have done an over right back there. And now I'd be over left. And then you have to switch
back. They can't. They can't hear. They don't even.
Yeah, they can. I've done, Zach, it's. I've done it. You can do it. You can call overs. And if you've trained them up and they practice the overs a bunch beforehand, it actually works pretty darn well. You remember seeing, we used to do that. What was that hole on the Tuolumne? We'd spin around and we'd do overs, overs, overs. The only problem is if you did an over and then it spun too quick, then you'd all
be. Yeah, this is more violent than that. You're thinking of like Steamboat, right? This is.
Yeah,
this
is, but you can still over in that. Like the guide.
This is a lot. You watch this is way more violent. I don't know. I don't think people like it's right happening there. Too fast.
Right there. There the guide's up on that side. Oh.
I mean, all I can think about is how do you – you have 12 swimmers now. How are you going to pull in 12 swimmers on water
this continuous? If you go back and watch, it looks like the person before that boat had the wrong line and then
– somebody followed it.
And then the second guy followed it. Like he's backwards, going through backwards. Yeah. And they're hitting – they almost get surfed there. They just pop out. And then the next dude – he goes right next to him. He actually doing better, but then, oh, yeah.
Damn.
He's not backwards, but. And then you watch the boat that comes over here. That boat goes really smooth over the drop, right where that boat went too. Oh, someone's holding on there. Yeah, right there. See, that's a.
They flipped somewhere up there before they even got there.
This looks fun. It looks sporty.
I would not want to be in a paddle boat with people here. Just the exposure to
dry suit or wetsuit?
They're not. Are they even wearing wetsuits? They must be. They have arms. They're showing guns. Oh, they
have Farmer John's on.
I mean, as a guider, I'd probably wear a wetsuit. I'm assuming this isn't this continuous the whole way. Like there's a pool at the bottom. Because otherwise, how they pull these people to shore?
Yeah, what are those tops that we used to all wear that have like the fleecy layer on the inside and they have like the rubber on the outside? What are those called?
The fleecy layer. Say that again.
They have like look it up. They're like a fleecy layer on the inside and like a rubberized layer on the outside.
I don't know.
Hold on, I'll look it up.
Try a wetsuit with fleece. Sawyer, thanks for being a member. We appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, Sawyer, thanks. Starving student.
You're getting a lot. Pretty soon, we're like way close to Aaron getting a paycheck out of this deal.
There you go.
Yeah, I know that flipped.
Hydroskin, like the Hydroskin stuff.
It's just a fleece. That's just a.
It's like with a coat of rubber on the outside. Yeah, with the coat of rubber on the. I really like the Hydroskin tops and like in situations like the Farmer John and Hydroskin top. You're really pretty good. The Hydroskin works really well.
It's called Three Rocks in the Arc. That hole is no joke. Yeah. This is how we have. Okay. This is an awesome place. Let's go. Isn't Hydroskin an Enduris product?
It is, but I don't know the equivalent. Do other companies use? What's the name? Lotus Designs used to make them, or Patagonia used to make them. They used to have some nice ones.
Let's see. You know what? Here we go. A 0.5. So when we were having this discussion about wetsuits, one of our guides was wearing one of these 1.5 pants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I wish they had these in threes. Like, I don't think 1.5 is enough. Right? Like, I wish they had Hydroskin pants that were almost as thick as a wetsuit. There's men's. It's a 1.5. I think these aren't quite warm enough for a high water cold swim.
Well, Zach, I don't think you want... I don't think even 3 millimeters are warm enough for a high water cold swim.
It's better than 1.5.
You're going to get flushed. You're going to get flushed, and your core is going to get flushed pretty bad.
Because you're wearing pants and not a full wetsuit.
Yeah. And even if you're wearing a top, your core is still going to get flushed.
But there's like an in-between. Like, let's say the Illinois at like 1200 with 80-degree weather. Like, I'd be fine in some like pants and like a nice shirt. There's like an in-between.
You can just wear paddling pants there. And you could just wear these.
I swim better in these.
You can wear 1.5 and you
the paddling pants get hot. Were these like when I the reason I like wetsuit pants or wetsuits is because I can pull the legs up. And so like my calf is showing, my calf is cooling down. I got nice looking calves, Aaron.
You do, Zach.
People got to see him.
Your calves are probably your best feature. So, yeah, I agree.
What's an igniter pant? Do you know what that is, Aaron?
Nope.
Oh, there we go. Men's igniter pant. What are these? 2 millimeter.
2 millimeters.
Much closer. I think I'm going to get some of these. Because there's like those in-between things.
Ooh. You could just cut one of the tops off one of your wetsuits.
No, that's weird. I'm not doing that. Okay, one more video. And then we got to close this show down and do our special little members-only show. I think, only one more video. Share screen.
Hey, so who was our first member ever?
It was Chris Davis.
Was it Chris Davis?
Yeah. All right. Have you seen this video, Aaron?
This looks like going into lava. Where is this?
I think it's Horn.
A horn. Oh, yeah. Horn. Here we go. Yeah.
He's pushing really hard, straight downstream. Is that how you, when you stand up and push, is that what you do?
Well, I don't push straight downstream that hard. That was an interesting plan.
He caught the eddy.
Do all his passengers have helmets on and he doesn't?
Yeah. That seems reasonable.
Well, that's a terrible eddy to be in.
I think one of those, that's a bike helmet. One thing about helmets, I guess a bike helmet's better than nothing, but whitewater helmets are specifically designed for whitewater type whitewater type accidents.
Is that a kayak trying to get in there?
I hope not. That would be kind of not fun. That's why we're watching the video, Aaron, to figure it out.
No, I mean the kayaker. Why is the kayaker even getting that close? The line's way left. The line isn't over where they are.
It's by some sort of, looks like a soccer lion flag. Is the Lannisters? Is he a Lannister?
There you go. Yeah, they're going to be in there for a while. That's brutal.
Do you get the people out? You're like, hey guys, I'm kind of a bad spot.
I would. What?
Because you definitely get the people out. Can get out. Why don't you just get out and I'll go down the ship?
I think you have less weight in the boat. The boat's going to handle better. It's less likely to flip. I would definitely get people out of this boat. I might, if I were rowing the boat, I might get out of the boat.
Knowing you would get up, be like, hey, can somebody take it
over? I'd just be like, let's just push this boat around and hope it doesn't
eat it. I mean, what if everybody got out and you then earlier he had flip dangles on his boat, now the flip dangles are gone. Oh no, he only has flip dangles on one side.
You don't need flip dangles on both sides down there, Zach. You only need them on one side.
Yeah, you don't need flip dangles at all.
Maybe that's like, they're pulling to shore so people can get out of the boat.
What if you got everybody out, including the guide, and then just made lunch and just hoped it came out at some point?
It's not going to come out.
It's going to stay there forever.
Until the flow changes.
Okay.
And then it could very easily flip as it came out. And then you have to be ready for it to go because it just
disappears. Yeah, you like make lunch, but somebody's ready for it to go.
There you go.
That's smart. Okay, guys, this is kind of a bad spot. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, that's a good idea. The 2 millimeter shorts are nice. Yeah.
Yep. The Immersion Research makes those, I think. I'm sure other people do, but Immersion Research has some really cool neoprene shorts. These kayakers here are saviors.
Whoa. Yeah, this is and they're probably pooping themselves. That's the other reason to get them out.
Oh, look. And
she's got a crotch strap on.
Yep. Yep. Bicycle helmet lady has a crotch strap.
Yeah. Oof.
Is kayaker guy doing an anchor?
Yeah, looks like.
Maybe they're gonna tie the boat up. Oh, that's good. These guys are awesome. Look at that. He's giving a rope to hold on to. Oh, we haven't seen the end yet. But it turns out before he flips, he's reefing on the oars, apparently to be bending a lot. Okay. Oh, yeah. JD Rogue is
one. You can get a lot of flex on those oars, particularly if you're just pulling on one oar.
Well, he has the square tops. And I have some 11-foot square tops for our 18-foot boats. And they have more flex than you want. And the square tops, I mean, I'm going to share an opinion that's not very well liked, but that's because that's what I do. I don't think the square tops are a good whitewater oar. I think they look cool and they have a cool name. You know, square tops and cobras. I mean, he's got both. Those oars and those oar locks were designed by drift boating people, drift boaters, anglers, whatever you call them. They weren't designed for whitewater. And so they have cool names and they look super cool, but they're not the most effective tool for whitewater, especially an 18-foot boat. Still have some stuff, huh?
I think that's what the NRS just kills everyone else with the
pricing.
Yeah.
I have to order some new wetsuits this year and I'll probably order NRS.
Will you get them with the zipper or without the zipper?
Is the option the tabs of the shoulders?
Yeah.
Probably the tabs. That's what I wore all year was a tab one, because then when you want pants, you just let it drop. And when you let the zipper drop, then you have a little hole that could be a hazard.
Yeah, when you let them drop, it's still kind of a hazard, like the...
Not if it's just the tab things, because it's just two flappy things.
But they can get pulled down on you. It's just like you're getting on your guides about that.
I mean, not really. I'm not going to get pulled down on you. Not when you have a big butt like me.
What are they doing here? They're going to pull them upstream, it looks like. Huh?
Like, you can pull them out, like, on the easy parts of Illinois, like the easy days. You know, or...
Oh, Zach. I either wear my wetsuit properly or I don't wear it at all.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous. Because then no, I have nice pants. I have nice pants on. I might have neoprene pants. So the ones with the things up here, it just kind of drops down. Still sits on your belly a little bit. It keeps some warmth. It just isn't as constrictive. Don't lecture me, Aaron. I don't want to hear it.
I'm just saying that's what I do. I'm not... There's no judgment on what you do. You can do whatever you like. I don't have a problem with what you're doing. I'm either wearing it or I'm not wearing it, basically.
And so you're just gonna wear shorts and be a cool guy.
I wouldn't wear shorts. You know me, I wear like some capris or something to protect my legs from the sun. But I'm wearing paddling pants, or I just wear the wetsuit properly.
Kayaker guy here is pretty bold. I wonder. Oh, they're pulling him higher in the eddy.
Yeah, to get him up.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's a lot of pulling for one guy on a little tiny throw bag.
This is going to be interesting.
This guy's got a rain suit on. I wonder if he has a wetsuit or it's just that rain suit.
Probably just a rain suit.
Low float PFD. Cool. Are those sun paws, Aaron?
No, those are rowing gloves, it looks like.
Is he going to put his helmet on or just rock the cowboy hat?
He doesn't have a helmet.
Oh, yeah. How are they going to unclip that rope? I bet a kayaker is going to make some hero move. Oh, are they going to cut it with their knives?
No, there's a nice eddy spot up there. Look at that. Yeah, actually, the kayakers have made some great decisions.
Yeah. The kayaker's like, hey, rafter guy, just sit there and listen. We got this. I mean, honestly, the kayaker guy should get him out of his boat and row for him probably.
You gotta pull hard with that left oar. The left oar, bro. The left oar.
But he wishes the pins and clips right now. So keep that angle. Keep your angle. Oh, I already lost his angle. His angle's gone.
Yeah. I would grab, he's probably going to try again. I would just grab the left oar with two hands. Let the right oar go and just grab the left oar.
All you got to do is leave with the angle. It's so powerful.
We're definitely doing a good job of Monday morning quarterbacking this one.
Yeah, somebody's gonna write some nasty comment like, you guys weren't there. You know what you're talking about? Hey, this is entertainment. We're just making this stuff up. Literally, don't listen to what we're saying.
Whoa, he's not that much of an angle there. Is he gonna get out?
How do you cross the eddy line with that angle?
He's pulling with two hands with this. He doesn't really know where he's going, does he? Oh, turn around and pull. Now, I wouldn't want to do this because he's got all the weight in the back of it. And if he pulls out this way and he comes up to that wall, all his weight's on the back end versus the front end pulling him around the corner.
Yeah.
Does that make sense what I'm saying there?
They could have unrigged all those bags.
He could. I'm just saying when he was – I would
yeah. want – Oh, wait. Is that a high flow vest next to him on the right on the back? Oh, that's a yeah. bag. Is that a high flow vest or a bag?
I think it's a high flow vest. Is it? Or no, it's a bag. You're right. It's a bag. I don't know. Yeah, what angle is he pulling out there?
Homie's hanging off the fucked Phil.
Oh, geez.
I wonder what he's thinking right now.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That was not good.
Oh. Oh, it's his pants. Wait, his pants are coming down, too.
He got out the eddy, though. You know what yeah. I'm saying? He got out the eddy. That wasn't that bad. It was pretty clean. It worked. That's
the inevitable thing that was going to happen. I guess I kind of
yeah, wasn't paying attention. Yeah, I wonder if he – I mean, look, he's pulling with a downstream angle there. I mean, I wonder if he could have
– See, it was his rain pants are coming down. He looks tired. Oh, man.
That's interesting. He jumped to the back like that.
That's pretty good high side.
That was kind of a smart move. Jump to the back. So if the boat flips, yeah. he's like going to get washed out from underneath
the raft. Now they get to use the flip lines. I wish they had video of turning the boat back over too. It's like, is that his hat? It's like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Nice
job.
Nice self rescue.
Wait, hold on, his hat. Hold on. I love this so much. His hat, he's still wearing the hat. He's still rocking this thing. He's like, guys, I'm keeping the hat on. Hat's still on. He flips with the hat on. Yes. He has a presence of mind to probably grab his hat right now, like Indiana Jones would. Comes up.
That's pretty amazing.
Throws his hat up. Oh, man. That
what a nice toss, too, keeping the
priceless.
Hat
on. Priceless. Oh, I love that so yeah. much. All right. So we're gonna do something we've never done before. We're gonna switch over. Let's get the comments really quick. Jumping to the back, get some way oars. Yep. So he saw the hat thing too. We're gonna switch over to the members only thing. And I don't exactly know how everybody's gonna find it, to be honest with you. It should just show up in your YouTube feed. And if you're a member, you should be able to watch the recording regardless. So we're gonna shut this episode down and I'm gonna internet and log in differently and we'll see you guys in like 8 minutes for this members only podcast.
All right.
Do you want to do the close down?
If you haven't subscribed, pre-subscribe. Of course, hit that like button. And those of you who aren't going to be joining, I appreciate all the comments. And this is a good episode. There was some really good footage. Thanks, Zach, for putting.
Yeah, appreciate you didn't fall asleep this time.
Yeah, it was more interesting.